Blog Talk Radio.
Cash and Martin Payne.
Yeah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speak. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Praise be to God. At this time, we are going to say good morning to Father God. Good morning, Lord. As it is now time for our devotional message, which is entitled, Keep Listening. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And it says, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Amen. Praise God. The choices before you today may feel overwhelming, as if they represented a precarious crossroad on which your whole future hinges. You may feel as if a wrong decision could ruin everything. But take heart. These choices are a part of God's bigger picture for you. It's unnerving to ask him for guidance and not hear him immediately. But I can testify today that the Lord who created you is more than able to teach you what to do and keep you on the path of his will when you seek him. This is why scripture often repeats the command that you should not fear. Anxiety can blind you to God's guidance. Can you cause to lose heart and make bad decisions and may even dishearten you to the point you give up completely? Therefore, set your heart to reject fear. Do not be afraid that you are unworthy of knowing his will. Jesus makes you worthy in Romans 8:31-34. Do not fear that you won't or cannot hear God. He created you and can break through to you. Keep listening for him. Amen. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Jesus, I know you will speak at the right time and in a powerful way. So I won't be afraid. I will trust you. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this morning. The Bible says in Romans 10:14-15 in the New King James Version, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things." After the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Unfortunately, Apostle Mother Wiggins is still ill, and she will not be joining us this morning. So I will bring a word in her place this morning. Amen. To God be the glory.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you. We 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 worship you.
He's a
Praise be to God. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 33 through 35. Amen? And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, Jesus tells the parable of the yeast. Amen? Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast, a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowd. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. Amen? I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Praise be to God. So, in these parables, in other Bible passages, yeast is used as a symbol of evil or uncleanness. Here, it is a positive symbol of growth. Although yeast looks like a minor ingredient, it permeates the whole loaf. Although the kingdom began small and was nearly invisible, it would soon grow and have a great impact on the world. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that you wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life when we accepted Jesus as Savior. We pray that you will engrave your name on our hearts to indelibly that neither prosperity nor adversity shall ever move us from your love. Be to us a strong tower of defense and a comforter in tribulation. Guide us through many temptations and dangers of this life by making us strong to resist evil and live and live victoriously in your strength. We bring gifts to you that were earned by abilities that you bestowed on us out of the rich bounties of your grace. We bring these gifts to help further your work, since we can do collectively as a community of believers what we cannot do individually. Pour out your power on this church, granting us wisdom to use good judgment in the expending of funds. May we receive a blessing as we give. We pray this in the Master's name. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Jesus turned to everyday life in Galilee in order to illustrate the kingdom of God. Smaller towns and villages had no bakeries. Women made bread in their homes. Jesus had, no doubt, often seen his mother use leavened dough that had been kept from a previous baking and had fermented. When the leaven was mixed into the new batch of dough, it changed the characteristics of the dough. That is, the dough rose and made four loaves of bread when baked. Jesus observed that just as leaven changes the dough into which it is mixed, God's kingdom likewise changes everything with which it comes into contact. Amen. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 13 and 33, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." Praise God. And my title for this message is, Silent Forces Are Often the Strongest. This morning, my message is divided into four sections. Number one, a difficulty of interpretation. Now, this is a controversial parable. Often leaven symbolizes for the Jewish people an evil influence. In fact, elsewhere in the New Testament, this is true. Jesus advised his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod in Mark 8 and 15. Amen. Paul twice used the phrase, a little leaven leavens the whole lot, as he exhorted Christian people to separate themselves from all things that can in any way influence for evil. And you'll find that in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, Galatians 5 and 9. If a Jewish Protestant relapsed into pagan ways, the rabbis spoke of it as a return to his leaven. On the other hand, it is not fair to say that the Jews always use leaven as a synonym for wickedness or bad influence. One rabbi said, "Great is peace when that peace is to the earth as the leaven is to the dough." The point of this parable is not whether leaven is good or bad. Rather, it is used to illustrate that the most silent of forces may be the strongest. Amen? Number two, take the long look. Now, too many people today want to see their success immediately. They do not want to wait for rewards. They believe that Christianity means all of our problems are immediately solved and prosperity will come by tomorrow afternoon. This is not true. Of course, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, the gift of our sin is dealt with on the basis of Christ's death on Calvary and his resurrection from the grave. Now, this should bring immediate peace with God, because we know that we shall not come into condemnation, and that our sins are under the blood of Christ. personal problems, however, will still must be dealt with on a day-to-day basis. Amen? The glorious truth, however, is that ultimately we have assurance of victory, knowing that we are going to win the game, provides help in time. Amen? Praise be to God. Come on. Amen. Provides help in time of need. Strength for every inning. The Apostle John wrote to a struggling church in Asia Minor that in Revelation 2 and 10, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. John was saying, take the long look. Do not set your eyes on short-term goals. Give God time, and he will work out your problems. In the meantime, be faithful and live up to the light you possess. Number three, history renders strange verdicts. If you had been alive in 1809, you would have been tempted to join the group of pessimistics who called it the world's blackest year. Everything seemed to indicate the world had no future. Europe was on the borderline of complete frustration, ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. Napoleon was dominating the entire continent and making plans for further conquest. The cause of freedom and social progress seems hopeless. The truth is, however, that God was at work. In that year, Abraham Lincoln, William Gladstone, Alfred Tennyson, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Cyrus Hall McCormick, and Felix Mendelssohn was born. As Christians, we can put our faith in the fact that history will vindicate our trust in Christ. Polycarp, a Christian martyr, was put to death about the middle of the second century. The group of struggling Christians were terrified by the persecution under the proconsulship of a man named Satus Quadricus, the historian who recorded the death of Polycarp, concentrated a great truth into a few words when he wrote of the event and attached the date to it. He penned, Satus Quadricus, proconsul, Jesus Christ, King, forever. He could not possibly have known that nearly 1,900 years later, people would still be reading his book. Who was Satus courageous. Who knows? In fact, who cares? But above the turmoil of the world and the chaotic conditions that exist now and have existed through the centuries, his affirmation resounds. Jesus Christ, King forever. And number four, God is always there. If one were to ask, what is the chief appeal of the gospel to so many people in so many generations and in so many countries? What would you say? Is it not the influence of Jesus as a person? Others have come and gone. Military men have conquered large portions of the world, but have had to give it up. Merchants have cornered the market on certain products, but they could not hold out forever. Entertainers have become a household word, but have perished. Some of them tragically. Jesus Christ, however, is stronger today than he was in the first century. His kingdom is greater and more people claim allegiance to him than ever before in the history of the world. Napoleon is reported to have once said, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I built kingdoms on force, and they have crumbled. Jesus Christ built a kingdom on love, and today there are countless thousands who would gladly die for his sake. To God be the glory. And my conclusion is, do not let the obvious fool you. Forces are at work for God when we least expect. To celebrate the 100th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth, a cartoonist drew a picture of two men talking in a rural section of Kentucky. One said, "What's new?" The other replied, "Nothing." This is an out-of-the-way place. Oh, by the way, there was a new boy born over at Tom Lincoln's last night, but nothing new ever happens around here. One wonders if somebody in the outskirts of Bethlehem might have said one day, nothing new ever happens around here. We're just a hick town. Oh, by the way, some girl from Galilee had a baby out in the stable last night. But nothing new ever happens around here. Be careful about believing that the forces making the loudest noise are the most enduring or the more important. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O little town of Bethlehem, God is on the field when he seems most invisible. Trust him by receiving his death on the cross as payment for your sin, and his resurrection from the grave as your power. Commit yourself to share his goals and purpose in life. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Silent forces are often the strongest. Amen. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. To God be the glory. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24:25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Oh, come on. You do this to me every day. And now it is time for our psalmist to come with our poem this morning. Go back right there. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara Moore. How are you this morning? I just wanted to prolong that.
Amor. Thank you. For the ceremony, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. To God be the glory.
I enjoyed what I heard. I didn't catch the whole thing. But,
It was about the parable of the yeast.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like to thought about I like the part about you're saying, what is it, I think, with your words, that calls us to still think about him and to still seek him?
Mm-hmm.
What is that thing? Because
yes.
others have come and gone, and
mm-hmm.
we're still even greater today. We're still looking for him. We're still
yes.
following him and still believing in him. I had
Hallelujah.
A poem that I don't recall a title of it, so I'm not going to be able to do it today, but I have another something.
Okay.
That,
and we take whatever we get. Amen.
Yeah, but I
wonderful.
Oh, bless your life.
Thank
your
you.
Life. I kind of wanted it to,
truth,
I wanted it
truth.
To coincide with what you just read. Thank you. But anyway,
okay.
I'll read this.
All right.
It's in. It's from my book, The Profundity of God, Spiritual Anthology and Poetry. And this one is entitled, Nevertheless, Thank You, Lord. I want to ask you for a few things, Lord. I want a new this. I want a new that. I've been asking for these things for a very, very long time. Yet I still don't have what I want. I need to ask you, dear Lord, for a few things that I need. I need life, breath, and strength. This without my asking, you've given to me. And I thank you, Lord. I'm still looking for those things that I want. Nevertheless, you Lord, for blessing me with the things
mm-hmm.
that I need. I ask, you answer. You answer, I obey. Verily, verily, most assuredly, I can't make it without the things that I need. You've made a way for me. Now I see that it may not be exactly what I want. Nevertheless, it is exactly what I need. Thank you for my nevertheless. Thank you for all of that. I am grateful, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, nevertheless.
Amen. That is beautiful. Nevertheless, I am still grateful for whatever you give me, Lord. Yes, nevertheless.
Hallelujah.
Like I said, sometimes it takes years or months or weeks to really get what we pray very hard for, but it's everything is in God's timing.
Yes, it
give it to, he didn't say he wouldn't give it to you, but he didn't say he wasn't going to give it to you right away either. So,
right.
Nevertheless, we have to wait on him.
Nevertheless, we wait.
We wait.
Amen.
No joke. And if we go against him, we sin.
And if it's in his will, it will be manifested.
Yes. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So we keep on praising him. We keep on knocking and asking and seeking.
Yes.
And nevertheless, when and if he wants it to be manifested in our life, we will see it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oof,
thank you,
I tell you, boy, if it wasn't for him, I don't know what I would do.
You
I
really don't.
Because yesterday, that devil tried hard to get me. He tried so hard. My body, tell you the truth, my body was in so much pain yesterday, I could hardly even walk.
What?
And all I kept saying, God, your grace is sufficient for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I kept saying that phrase, which is so, so true. His grace is so sufficient for me. I mean, like, I didn't want to, you know, like, because one day I'm in so much pain to go and just pop all these medications and stuff. No, I didn't want to do that. Because what I was going through yesterday was nothing compared to what he went through for me, you,
exactly.
and everybody else.
Exactly.
So I am
for
just
the world.
So thankful and so blessed this morning that I woke up. The pain is just like sometimes I barely even feel it. And then there's times when it let me know it's still there. But
were you inside yesterday when you were going through that, or were you out?
I had a doctor's appointment yesterday morning at 8:30. So I woke up with the pain, and so I went to the doctor and everything. I got out of there like before 9 o'clock. And I mean, I was shocked. I was like, "Whoa! I ain't never got out of no doctor's office this
so quickly,
fast,
right?"
You know? Yeah. So I got out of that, and I took the bus back home because I took a cab there. And so I saw where I can, you know, make my connections to get to where I live. And so I got on the bus, and I got waited for the 17 bus, and then got on the bus and got home. Then when I got home, oh, my God, I couldn't move. I was in the pain. It seemed like the pain had intensified. And it was
at the point
where I myself couldn't even touch my own parts of my body, you know. That's how bad it was. And I was telling the nurse, you know, that on the right side from the lower part of my back going all the way down the right side of my leg is, you know, sciatica. And so she told me if I have a tennis ball, to take the tennis ball, put it on the wall, and just, you know, push myself up and down with the tennis ball.
Right.
I don't know what that was supposed to do. Was it supposed to take away the pain or just relieve it?
Probably the same thing, relieve it, take it away. That's the same thing.
Yeah, because she said her husband had the same thing. And, she said that it hurted her so much to see him in so much pain like that. So the doctor told him to take the tennis ball, or the therapist to take a ball, any kind of ball, if it's a big beach ball or a tennis ball, put it, you know, on your side and just a flat wall and go up and down, just like, you know, you're doing, like you're doing squats.
Right.
But
did you do
I don't have no balls. So,
you don't have a ball for...
I wasn't going to use his ball.
I wash his ball off and use it on yourself. wash and use it.
Yeah, that's... I could have, but I didn't. So I just sat there and I tolerated the pain and everything. And then last night, before I went to bed early, because, you know, I couldn't endure that pain anymore. So I went to lie down and elevate my feet and stuff, and took two Tylenols. And next thing I know, I was passed out, gone to sleep.
And so did that alleviate the pain?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The pain, you know, until the Tylenol wore off. Yeah, so after the program this morning, I'm going to, you know, get myself ready and take him out for his walk. Because when I walk him, I'm also getting my exercise, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
Does that help you?
It does. It really does, because my, you know, I'm so used to walking, and when I, you know, don't walk for a day or two, like, you know, outside, then it's like the body gets like stiff or tightened on you, and you haven't used those muscles for 2 days.
Yeah. So you need to do that every day.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I
want time, but you need to do it.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Even if I just, you know, go around the block once, it still helps. But like,
that's exercise.
Yes, it is. So like when I take him out, then we go around the whole neighborhood. Yeah, because I'm trying to tire him out, but he tires me out.
That's a lot, you know?
Neighborhood. Yeah, yeah, I do. I walk around the whole neighborhood. Just sometimes I go all the way up to Tremont Avenue, to the post office, walk all the way back around St. Barnabas Hospital. And it truly, when you're walking it doesn't seem like it's far. But when you go back home, and you would be like, oh, my God, did I really walk this far? Yes.
Wow.
Really did.
Yeah,
because
so
where I live, everything is so far away from me. You have to take a bus to go to the market, to the post office, all of that.
Right.
So
I try to walk.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a burden when you're walking, Chico.
No, it doesn't. If I'm doing it by myself, then it's a burden.
I'm glad it helps you to see
if she'll come and get me, you know, just to get out the house for a few hours or so. I don't want to take the bus to go all the way down to her house, because then I have to take two buses. It's okay if you got one bus and to get a seat.
You have to change
to another bus, and the bus is crowded. Ain't no telling when you're going to get a seat.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, because, you know, nowadays.
That'll be something for you to do. They're having a block party in our block today, so I'm not going to stay on for full time. It's supposed to start at 11. I forgot what time it is, about 7 or 8. But I know I don't plan to be out there that long. And I probably won't go out there right away, but I'm just saying it starts at 11.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you this. I finished my turkey last night that you had turkey wings.
Yes.
Okay.
And how was it?
It was good. What is it, 2 weeks later?
Yeah. That's how I, when I get something that is so good, I put it in the container, put it in the freezer, and I let it stay there until a day when I feel for it. And then
I didn't freeze it, and I had the oxtail in the same container. So I made some greens with some turkey necks, some rice, and what else is that I had? Oh, some cornbread I made. And I enjoyed my turkey, not to mention the whole thing, but I didn't get to the oxtail. So I had to relinquish that. So
yeah,
I didn't get to eat that one.
Yeah, that
but
one
I enjoyed.
You're gonna have to cook it a little more, because I had to cook mine a little more, like, you know, let it simmer.
The oxtail?
Yeah, with me, I mean, everybody cooks oxtails differently, but I like when mine is so soft that, you know, they just come off the bone.
Yes. But I should have taken a little bit more, especially of the turkey. I know it wasn't that much of the oxtail.
Yeah.
But I want to get her recipe. Do you make yours similar to hers?
Oh, boy, that's Valerie.
You got a phone call. I'll wait.
Hold on. Hi, Val. I'm on the line.
Okay, I'll call you back.
Okay, thank you.
I'll come in a good time.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye. She keeps forgetting. Huh?
That you're on the air. She forgets that you're on the air. Your hours. Anyway, I was saying, do you make your oxtail the way that Nadine makes hers?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Because, see, I cook my oxtails in the pressure cooker.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't like pressure cookers because, you know, they blow up if you don't put enough water in them. And
I don't know why, but I know they can go and end up all over your ceiling. So,
exactly. I had that happen to me twice, so I said,
No. It's because you don't have enough water in them?
Yeah, because what happens sometimes, or the pressure is too high.
Okay.
You know, because once, I have the old time pressure cooker from way back.
Uh-huh.
I had got that
already,
and it has the little sealer part in the middle. And if that blow out, woo, everything goes flying all over the walls.
Wow!
That happened to me once with the split peas. I was making oxtail split pea soup. And I put the oxtail. I put them both inside the pressure cooker trying to save time. And girl, that I must have had the fire too high. Because sometimes if you ain't careful and you pass by, especially if you got a big butt, you're going to touch the thing and made it, and apparently it must have touched it and made it hot to fire, and everything went kaboom.
Oh goodness!
Yeah, the top didn't come off because that was
what?
Locked. No, it's just
so
the little valve in the middle. That's what blew off.
So it still made it. It still made it spatter.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It did. I mean, everything went flying. And you know when you got white walls? Oh, that's just horrible. You see
that? And green split peas on them. Oh, goodness.
Oh, yes. Especially the green ones. The yellow ones, sometimes I can get away. But them green ones, oh, my goodness, there's no getting away from them. But, no, sometimes what I'll do, I will, like, if I'm not in a hurry or anything, I'll make my oxtails in the oven.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put them bad boys in one of those big, deep aluminum pans, and I put them in there and put the barbecue sauce and everything over it, seasoning.
Okay.
And put it in the oven and on 350 to 400. And girl,
how long? Well, you leave them in there?
I leave them in there until they cook because they're raw when they go.
Just that, I know, but I'm saying, who's gonna take them out when they're half done, Hilda? I'm saying, how long you leave them in there?
Like I said, I don't count the time. I leave them in there until when I go and turn them over and see if they're soft. And once they start falling off the bone, then I take them out.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. One time I was making oxtails for the church. And, girl, I fell asleep.
Ooh.
And all the oil fell inside of the oven. I didn't know anything. Next thing I hear banging on my door. Who was the fireman?
Wow.
The fireman, because I had smelt the smoke then and jumped up, and I saw all the smoke in the house and everything, and I opened. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, so somebody called the fire department on you. Good.
Yeah, probably
that's
somebody
good
on my floor.
Of course, you know.
If we smell a whole lot of smoke and like something burning, we'll go and bang on everybody's door.
Of course.
Yes.
That's jeopardizing the whole floor.
Not to mention the building.
And it was but I had, that night too.
I had an usher in my church who her son died. He came home, somebody said they dropped him off. I don't know what time it was, but it was that night, it was late at night. And he decided to put on a pot of something, I don't know what it was. And he fell asleep.
Oh,
and it started to smoke, apparently, and fire, and you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
He died. I don't know if it was smoke inhalation. I went to the funeral, so it didn't look like he was burned. I forgot what she said. But that pot, whatever he put on, it killed him. I'll just say that. I don't think it was a pressure cooker.
Maybe
I don't even know what he was.
Probably the chemicals.
I don't even know what he was cooking. I don't even know what he was cooking. I forgot what she said. I'll ask her again. But that's a sore story, a tough story. I think he was probably in his 40s. He might have been in his 40s. But he might have been in his 50s. I don't know. But that is so horrible. You come home, cook a meal, and you're so sleepy that you can't stay up and watch it, and you end up dead, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
So you have to be careful with that, especially if you're by yourself. You really have to be careful.
After that incident, honey, I never fell asleep while I was cooking. I was sick. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm. And you might have to turn it off.
Right.
Yeah, you might have to turn that pot off or that oven off or whatever and continue when you wake up, God willing, the next morning. But a lot of incidents, I think even my grandfather had a situation. He was cooking something, and next thing you know, he dropped off to sleep, and there's a lot of smoke. It was no danger to him dying. He was sitting on the porch.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're cooking and you're sleeping, and that's not good.
No,
The only way that might be all right is if you're using a crock pot, because that's a slow cooker. So you can. And some people don't even like to use them and go out and go to work or what have you. They'd rather be in the house when they're using it. But it uses a minimal amount of electricity. It gets very slow. And it tends to adjust to from high to low if it's on after about 6 hours, you know. So that to me is kind of safe. But like you said, if you're going to be cooking, you got to either turn it off. But you don't know when you're going to drop off to sleep sometimes, too. You know, you're not thinking.
And then, see, the thing is that oxtails have a lot of fat. And so,
I know.
With the water in it, and then the grease, you know, that's why, like,
I
trim off some of the fat, because I don't like all that fat. I trim it off.
Yeah, that's not good.
Some people don't. They figure the fat is what makes the meat tender.
The flavor.
It makes it tender, but then it's too much of fat and too much of grease. And I can't have a lot of grease, because I'm the type of person, anything I eat too greasy, it sits in my chest. Yes, it does.
And sometimes, I don't know how she cooked it. I'm going to ask her. But
and
sometimes,
she has a crock pot.
Well, what I'm saying is, I don't know. You said she did the crock pot. But whatever it was, she did it early enough that she refrigerated it and the fat rose to the top. So when it does like that, after it's cooled down, you can take that, scrape that fat off, and throw it away because you don't need it. You know, I don't think that's what happens with that.
No, no.
When you warmed it up, I don't think that was taken off of it. But it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, when I warmed it up, I poured a lot of the oil into the sink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Because you don't want to eat that. I mean,
no, ma'am. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much. But you could see it before you took it into the kitchen. I saw when she took it out, it was a lot of fat on it.
Yeah.
You know, which lets you know
she had cooked it, you know, ahead of time. She didn't cook it that same day. So I guess it might have been too hot to transport, you know, if she had cooked it the same day and it was too warm. So she did what she needed to do. But I just want to say I enjoyed the silent supper. I enjoyed the food.
Yeah, me too. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it really was. I'll remember that for a while. That was great.
You and me both.
That was great. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not gonna hold you, but hopefully we can do that again. You know, it doesn't have to be a silent supper. You know,
right.
To do another potluck or whatever, and that would be lovely.
Yeah, I love potluck.
That would be lovely.
Because you get to see a little bit of everybody's cooking.
Right. Except for the salad. You don't get to see that cook.
Oh, girl, that salad. Oh, my goodness. That salad was so good. I had to, with the next day, I ate some. I said, I got to save this one for the next day. I don't want to eat it for dinner. Because the salad is so good, I didn't want it to go so fast. So I took it and I put some with them, but I didn't want it to stay too long because, you know, the lettuce
and
stuff. Yeah.
Right.
But
you don't want to let it stay a day or two.
That salad is so good and so filling.
Yes, definitely. Like I said, next time you could put like shrimp on it or a can of tuna on each plate or something. And that's the meal. You know, you don't need that other stuff. Maybe something to drink and some dessert, and that's it.
And
that'll be it. But we'll see. But I enjoyed everything. I enjoyed everything.
Yeah, me too. I really did.
Thank you again.
Oh, man. It was just, you know, I was sorry that everybody had to leave. I was ready to, after eating and relaxing, stretch out and chit chat and all of that, you know.
Right.
But next time we'll do that.
Right, next time we'll schedule a little longer. You can't leave after hour. You know, you got to stay here and kind of socialize for another hour at least.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that would have been nice. But it was nice as it was. Just missed the socialization. So thank you again for doing that.
You're so welcome. Yep.
Thank you so much.
When First Lady called me and she's like, Amber, can you please have the silent thing at your house? I said, okay. You know, I need him. All I said was, okay.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You didn't even ask why.
No.
You didn't
but
even
she
ask
told
why.
She told
yeah,
why.
You told us. But he ended up coming over anyway, you know?
Yeah, but
he came anyway.
Yeah, he did. But that was only to pick up Chico and take off.
I know. He was in and out, silently in and out, so. It was nice. All of it was nice. I'm appreciative of it, you know. But anyway, go on, young lady, and do what you need to do. I hope you get a little relaxation in today and with your sister or whatever you planning to do.
Yeah.
And just be safe, you know. Be safe. You taking Chico with you?
I probably stay home.
Oh, if you go, you gonna take Chico with you?
No, because I don't have a carrier.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why a lot of times, you know, if I go out, I feel bad because I have to lock him up in his cage. Because he tear my house up.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
but you don't have to have a carrier to go with your sister. You just have him on the leash.
Yeah, but if I have to take the bus, then I need him in a carrier.
No, I said if you go with your sister.
Oh no, yeah, If I don't need a carrier, if she coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You have to have a carrier if you're taking the ride with her.
Yeah. Excuse me. Absolutely.
And he could use a change of scenery too. You know?
You're absolutely right. But I said, he turned a year yesterday.
Oh, what?
Yep.
Happy birthday to Chico. He's a Leo, huh?
Uh-huh. That's why he's so mad.
He's a Leo. Bless his heart. Yes. Wish him a happy birthday for me.
And little man turned a year on the 23rd. His birthday.
Who's that?
Noah.
Turns a year.
Not a year. I'm sorry.
That's what he said. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I meant to say. What is he? 5-6 years.
Six years.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's how fast the time went.
Yeah, I see. I realize.
Yeah,
wow.
Because when he left me, he was 3. And then they had him for 3 years now, so he just turned 6.
Wow.
And
I would love to see him again.
And you and me both.
I would love to see him again.
You and me both, honey. She had a little birthday thing for him out in the park. She didn't even call or invite me or nothing. Even if I didn't go, she could at least, you know,
let you know.
Let me know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the only way for me to find out how he's doing is through my niece. So she, because they're around the same age, so she pretty much hang out with her.
Like okay.
Because they keep in contact with each other on Instagram thing, or however they got so many websites or things. I don't even know which one is on.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly all the young people on there because they don't want their parents to know what they be saying and what they be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. They go on their Instagram thing.
Right. But I'm glad he's going. He's coming along. I know, but you just told me you don't really communicate with the family, but I'm saying we're going to have something in September I want you to come to. You and Nadine, Robert, and anybody else that wants to, but it's going to be in Brooklyn. But if you can get him, if you can get Noah, I would love it. September
17th. Yeah, it would be nice, but the father won't, he's not going to let me have him. Not even for an hour.
So why can't he come? The father can come with him.
We don't
you won't
get
do
him
that.
No. After what he did to me, no. I don't even. I pray for him that he would change, but you know, in the situation that he's in, he's never going to change.
Well, God is in charge of that, so
true that.
Yeah. We don't know.
No, we don't.
They had some people that people had given up on, and lo and behold, think about the Samaritan woman. Think about the Samaritan woman. You know, she had been married 5 times, and the one she was with at that time wasn't her husband, you know?
Yeah.
And they had looked at her like she's nothing. You ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But she's the one that went and told the other people that Jesus was there, the Messiah.
The Messiah, has come.
We can't
come and see.
We can't judge people. We don't know. It's in God's hands.
Yes.
It's in God's hands.
Yeah.
Keep them in prayer.
Always.
In prayer. God can do miraculous, you know.
Absolutely.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can do miraculous things. But if you can, get him. I want you to come. I'm telling you, the 17th of September. I'll give you more information later on, but it is in Brooklyn, okay?
Oh, okay.
On a Saturday.
The 17th.
And your sister can come too. I'm just saying, it's not a silent supper, so maybe she wouldn't mind bringing you and taking you back home or something.
No, I would have to take a Cesar ride because she doesn't know Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we got GPS now, so she can use that.
Yeah, she do. But, you know, I don't know. She probably wouldn't want to drive in Brooklyn anyway.
Well, you can ask her.
She don't have a problem, but she may. I mean,
if you don't ask, like, she won't know. So, yeah, you ask her and find out. If she doesn't want to come, then that's on her.
Yeah.
But you can find out. Maybe she'll surprise you, too.
She would probably will. Yeah. Once I get all the details and stuff, we'll see.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
You going to stay on the air?
I'm just going to play music right out for the 27 seconds that's left.
27 minutes that's left?
Minutes, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's it. But you don't have to stay, because if you got something to do.
I know that.
That's
what I told you before.
Yeah.
That I might not stay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay,
anyway,
then.
Stay safe.
You too.
Have a blessed weekend. God willing, I will see you on Sunday, one way or the other.
Amen.
Okay? All right. Okay. Have a blessed one. Love you.
Love you, Shalom. Too. You too. Shalom.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Belongs to you. that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? His fellow man, would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you? And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. What will Jesus do? Listen. Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all.
Where's all of my praises? I want everybody to we go.
Every word of worship
with one accord. pain. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise for God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God, fill me up, God. flow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours. All my soul. All my soul. All my soul. All my soul is yours.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.